For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, back for another season in slightly stumpy form this week as we get up to speed after what seems like for never of a summer break. I nearly forgot I'm Tim Fuel on a solo run this week as we finalise our squad for the new season. But I can promise the return of some very familiar faces, as well as some new ones and some new features too, as we try to ensure we stay the best, most respected and most listened to podcast about all things non-league. Oh, and did I mention we're still the longest running too? That doesn't always mean the best, but like that wily old head midfielder you signed in pre-season, this show is the one that thinks beyond the obvious, goes beyond the headlines, and with long-standing relationships across the world as football, is able to delve a little deeper than others and give you a little bit extra with a little bit more intelligent analysis. Let me show you what I mean.
For some, the season is already well underway, while others get their league campaigns off and running this weekend. But what does the season hold? Lots of changes to get our heads around, not only in club personnel, with many players, managers and directors shifting around over the summer, but of course, a big restructure too, with new divisions, a more streamlined number of clubs in those divisions, and of course, many clubs switching leagues. Some at the same level, others promoted or relegated. What does it all mean? Where will it all lead? Joining me on the line with his crystal ball and knowledgeable insight into the non-league is non-league paper's very own Alex Neary. Good afternoon, Alex.
Good afternoon, Tim.
Now, it's been a very interesting summer. It seemed that there was always something going on, and we've really not had time to gasp for breath or even consider everything that's been going on. Hopefully you guys at the NLP are on top of it, though.
Yeah, it's been a very, very busy summer. The off-season's it's a bit of a strange beast, really, because you don't have the stress of, you know, building up towards the Saturday and all the stress that goes with Saturday afternoon itself. But we still have to get a paper out there. And it's very, very tough through the summer. So you have more features. You've got a lot more phone calls to make to managers, a lot more phone calls to make to players. And those guys are often away on holiday. So, it's tough. Like I say, less stress on a Saturday, but a lot more stress Monday to Friday. And I suppose the World Cup was a nice distraction, and we piggybacked on the success of the non-league players there, like Jordan Pickford. But the summer is tough, and unlike football clubs at a higher level, the PR isn't as good, and you don't quite get the news lines fed to you, so you literally have to have your ears pinned to the ground. But it's all good fun.
Yeah, I mean, I've been involved with a club on the media side for over two decades now. It's harder. Things have changed a lot, and there's a wider media teams, more people to do more things, but there are more things to be done as well, and lots of things to try and get your head around it if you're involved in the club. Do you think that the quality of the information that comes out now for the non-league paper has got to be much improved over recent seasons, isn't it?
Oh, it is. I mean, I'm not for 1 second, doing a disservice to clubs, and it's just that the weight of information that they have to deal with is so much greater. So, in terms of the stories that we want to get out there, the player signings, the manager moves, we just have to keep our ears to the ground on those, because we just don't get those news lines fed to us as quickly as, say, the Football League clubs. But the actual professionalism and the media setups at many non-league clubs has really grown. I mean, you look at the National League itself, you're looking at pretty much a full-time league there. I know there are still a few part-time clubs playing in the National League Premier, but by and large, they're all recruiting media teams. I think Salford have got a media team of four or five people. So, clubs building for the future. So the information is always there, but we've still got to keep our ears to the ground because we can't afford to miss stories.
Yeah, and I think it shows what a great job you guys do as well, because you're not the largest. You're competing with some of those sports teams at the national papers that are covering football all the time. You guys turn out so much so quickly as well, and turn it around, and it's all about building those relationships, and then you find that the player or the manager's moved on to another club within 6 months.
Yeah, actually, Tim, it's really interesting, because one of the really refreshing things about working on this on the non-league paper is the fact that managers and players do pick up the phone to you. So we've built up a lot of contacts over the years, and there's certainly an element of trust there from the managers. We know that we can phone John Still up at any time. We know that we can phone up Martin Allen any time. You know, these guys are happy to talk to us. They trust us and they pick up the phone and they're happy to tell us stories. There isn't quite that kind of what you would call, you know, the embargo in place or a wall in place where you can't get to these guys. So it's very refreshing. It's journalism. It's a bit of a throwback, really. Like I say, there are no kind of press officers kind of standing in your way, although there are press officers there to help. But by and large, it's great, and the managers trust us, and we all get on with it.
So what about those big stories there? Any particular sort of stick in your mind, big signings, big moves, or just big stories at clubs?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I mean, there's been a few signings throughout the off-season. They've kind of trickled in. What we normally find is that the signings kind of... There's a spate of signings just after the season's finished, and then they kind of trickle in and they go quiet because, realistically, people go away on holiday, managers go away, they take a break. And then when they come back for pre-season, they start to ramp it up a little bit. I think the signing that I like the most in the National League is actually... It is Liam Noble to Hartlepool, because I think he's a player that a club like Hartlepool, who has promotion aspirations, they need a player like that. You know, a box-to-box midfielder who's going to win you a championship. And he did that with Forest Green a couple of seasons ago. Didn't win the championship, but they went up by the playoffs. So every kind of team needs one of those players. Obviously, the Salford, the signings, the Rooneys and Danny Lloyd have made a lot of noise up there with their budget as well. But if I'm honest with you, the big story of the summer, it hasn't been the signings, it's been the restructuring at steps 3 and 4. And the fallout, the initial fallout from that restructure, i.e. teams not liking the divisions that they were placed in and putting appeals across. And then sadly, the demise of Shore Lane in June, pulling their first team out of the Northern Premier Division. That just sent shockwaves through the pyramid, had catastrophic effect, you know, on other clubs. The likes of Hensford were moved against their will, and the big one that really, really hurt the club was Fleet Town, who were moved from, you know, into the southwest at step 4, where they were now taking on travelling of up to, you know, anything up to 300-mile round trips. You know, for me, Fleet last season in the Southern East division they were in, I think they were I mean this with no disrespect, I think they were slightly punching above their weight at that level of football, and I think they would agree with that too. They were doing very well at that level, but I think you're asking a club of Fleet size to take on the travelling costs and everything that comes with being in that league. It's a big ask. So the stories have kind of trickled on from the restructure and after the Shore Lane demise, and it's just been ongoing, really. And it's only just kind of started to settle down, but I do worry for the likes of Fleet, you know, having to travel against their will. It's a very, very tough call on them.
Yeah, no, you say, you know, hopefully it will settle down, the restructuring. It's been hard for clubs like Fleet. One of the other anomalies obviously this season is that not all the playoff winners will actually get promotion.
Well... I mean, I laugh every time I hear that. It's just ridiculous. You know, the fact that you can get yourself into a playoff position and get yourself into the playoffs, the hard work, the consistency that goes into getting a football club into the playoffs at any level of football, but particularly in the lower leagues, where it's very, very tough to find that consistency, to find that finance, to find those players who will stick with you through a season and not go somewhere else that's more attractive, is very, very, very tough. And I just think that you're asking a football club who will know the outcome of that, you know, they'll know the destiny before they go into these playoff games. They will know that they don't have the points per game to get promoted. So they will be asking themselves, well, what's the point of us actually playing in this playoff, actually getting to this playoff final? You know, all the costs that come with that, the post-season matches, what are we doing? I just think it's utterly bizarre. And I think it needs addressing, because I think if that happens, which is going to happen, I just think it would be a bit of a laughing stock. We want people to take non-league football seriously. We want people to look at what we have. I hate using the word brand, but I'll use the brand here, the kind of non-league brand. We want people to look at it, take it seriously. This isn't serious. You're asking a football club to partake in the playoffs with no hope of getting promotion. That needs to be addressed seriously because they just cannot happen.
Yeah, you mentioned brand non-league. You mentioned Jordan Pickford earlier. Obviously, with lots of focus on various players getting some non-league experience that then went on to represent England at the World Cup. Do you think there's going to be a bigger focus from the wider world of football on the non-league game this season?
I do, but I don't think it will have anything to do with the World Cup or Jordan Pickford's exploits in Russia. I think more and more people, I think more and more football league clubs and scouts are looking at non-league players generally. I think they see, I think it's all trickled off from the Vardy effect. They can see that there's a bargain down in non-league football. They know that they're getting players that are hungry. They know that they're getting players that won't look to waste the opportunity. No prima donnas, so to speak. They know that they're getting players who are game ready. They know that they'll cross that line at 3 o'clock on a Saturday. They're ready for a game. They're ready for a battle. They're not shirking any challenges. When non-league footballers are prepared for battle, they're prepared for games. The league, the games mean something. So they're looking at those players instead of academy type players. So I think generally the interest in non-league football and non-league players has increased. And I think it's a really, really strong time for the game. That said, it's still a very delicate position for a lot of clubs in the current market and the economic climate that is, unfortunately, many people are talking that's lying ahead. So for the players, for the non-league players, the guys looking to make those moves into the Football League, it's the future's looking bright. For the clubs themselves, though, there might be some choppy waters ahead.
Yeah, we found ourselves reporting far too often about clubs in distress last season, and I think it was probably only a tip of the iceberg, the ones that got reported and sort of really spoken about. But one positive already starting this season, a couple of games in, the National League looks very strong, both at National League level, then National South, but National North as well. That looks particularly strong. You look at the two games in, and but we've already had crowds at Stockport of over 4,500, at York of over 3,000, at 2,800 at Hereford, over 2,000 at Chester, just under 2,000 at Kidderminster Harriers. There's a lot of supporters supporting these clubs, and they're very big clubs, aren't they?
Yeah, the National North, it's just a very, very tough league. And once you're down there, it's very, very tough to get out of. And it's a money league too. The crowds they get in are huge. You just reeled off quite a few there: Hereford, Chester, York, Stockport County, all former Football League clubs that have great fan bases that have stuck with them. That's the important thing here. Fan bases that have said, you know what, it's tough down here. We don't want to be in non-league football. We don't want to be playing in the National League or the National League North. We want to get back to the Football League, but we'll stick with you. And it's just fantastic when you go to those grounds, when you go to Stockport County, when you go to York, and you see these 2,000, 3,000 plus crowds. It's fantastic, but it's such a tough division. And once you're down there, it's a real scrap to get out of. So I'd actually say pound for pound, it's the toughest division in non-league football. But it bodes really well. Stockport getting off to a flyer on the opening day, 5-1, and then they lost in midweek. So it's going to be very, very tough, very, very difficult to pick a winner from that division.
I was going to put you on the spot then and ask you who your tip would be.
I probably would say my tip will still be... I think this could be Stockport's year. I know they're lost in midweek, but I think their home form will certainly get them up there. They've been edging ever closer for the last couple of seasons. I think they'll be there. But I do think Chester as well will be punching up there. They look strong. Anthony Johnson and Bernard Morley come across from Salford. They've recruited really well. They've recruited guys that know how to get out of this division, and of course they know how to get out of this division. They're born winners, and that will spread into the changing room there. So I think Stockport, really good shout, and I think Chester will be there or thereabouts too.
And away from the league, you know, one other positive thing that, you know, is some progress by the FA, the increase in prize money. So we've got the FA Cup extra preliminary round starting this weekend. More prize money coming down to clubs at our level, and effectively doubling, I think, the money in the early qualifying rounds. That's got to be a good thing as well, and an added carrot for clubs to do well in the competition this season.
Yeah, we've been championing the cause for this to happen for a number of years. Ian Ridley, who's a long-time contributor to the non-league paper, has been on the case big time. And I think, you know, fair play to the FA for doing this and addressing it. But it needed to be addressed. It really, you know, I think last season it was £1,500 for the winners of the extra preliminary round, and the losers went home empty-handed. Every loser wins now because, you know, you're losing the extra preliminary round.
I caught that cultural reference, Nick Berry, EastEnders former.
Well, anyone who's sort of hanging around in the mid-80s with highlights in their hair would. Would know where I'm coming from on that. But it's great because it's putting the money back into grassroots football, which is exactly what should happen. The FA Cup, the winners of the FA Cup last season, I think they were pocketing 2.9 million. Now Chelsea won the FA Cup last season. That 2.9 million will not even go anywhere near to paying the severance package for Antonio Conte, who has the temerity to go out there and win the FA Cup, because the big clubs, quite frankly, the top four and the top five, their priorities are just all towards the Premier League. They're all towards the Champions League, and the FA Cup has become, you know, it's just a secondary thought to them. They're not interested in it. I'm sure they are interested in it when they get to the latter stages, but playing weakened teams to get themselves through the third, fourth, and fifth rounds. I'm a big advocate for the FA doing this and putting more money into the grassroots and the extra prelim rounds, because that's going to help these clubs so much. That £3,000 for smaller clubs in step five and six, that will go so far. And it's a really, really positive move by the FA.
And I better let you get back and finish this paper that we keep talking about. But what can we look forward to this weekend in the non-league paper?
It's a bumper issue, so we'll be going up to 56 pages. So there's a lot of work to do, I must admit. We are a little bit behind, but we're getting there. So lots of match action. There's the full National League program into its second week, and we'll be tracking back and looking what's been going on in the midweek games. But also the Bostic Premier League is back, and so there's action at steps three and four. Southern League gets going as well. There'll be a big Northern Premier League preview to the season, because they don't start their season until the following Saturday. So every base is covered, and of course there'll be FA Cup coverage as well. So every base is covered. There's lots of work to do. It's going to be a pretty stressful couple of days and a very, very stressful Saturday afternoon. But do you know what, Tim? We love it. We wouldn't have it any other way. We're suckers for punishment, and it's just really nice to get the season going, because August is always a difficult month, because you're kind of getting through. You're dealing with the new structure of everything and everything that goes with that, and there's always a few teething problems, but it's great fun once you get going and roll on the season. It's going to be a cracker,
and we love it too. Thanks for joining us, Alex, and hopefully we'll be speaking to you much more throughout the season.
You're welcome, Tim.
I mentioned the FA Cup earlier, the increased prize money, the fact that it all begins again this weekend. So there was only one man we could call upon. He wowed those present at the FA Cup final in May with his stats and facts in the Matchday magazine, and he's been impressing us for a number of seasons already with his ginormous FA Cup knowledge and passion for the pub fact we know you all love. Ginormous, I never thought I'd use that in the non-league show. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Philinex at FA Cup Fact File. How are you, sir?
Very well indeed, Tim. How are you doing?
Well, I'm good. I've already joked about the summer being more hectic than the season, and seemingly feeling like we've not had a break. But all those stats that you do, already prepared for this season's competition starting this weekend. Did you actually manage to have some downtime, Phil?
Well, with the World Cup on and the FA Cup coming soon afterwards, no, there's probably not been much time for no football. But No, it's a labour of love, so, you know, I enjoy doing it. So I'm happy to spend time making sure that I'm on top of the ball for when you ask me your difficult questions.
Right, difficult questions. I mean, this must be the thing that gets you up in the morning, gets you excited. You know, some of these, it's a new season, a new competition, plenty to get excited about. So let's go through some of those headline figures. What should we be learning for? Like, how many entrants this year?
Well, they've maintained the number of 736 clubs. That's their usual number that they've stuck with for the last few years. We thought there might be some changes given that they've reorganised the non-league pyramid, but they decided that they would keep the numbers the same and adjust all the entry levels instead of adjusting the numbers.
No, because we'd had some discussions last season with all that restructuring. There's so much been going on. I suppose they just wanted to keep, you know, the greatest competition in the world as it was and not want to interfere with it too much.
Yeah, I think they're going through a period of transition. So hopefully when they get to the final end where they're 2-4-8-16 structure that they're trying to introduce into the non-league pyramid, maybe they'll have another look. And with a bit of luck then, they might decide to increase the actual numbers that can enter. I know there's lots of clubs out there who are really frustrated they're not involved this year. So I hope they do look at that and look at how they can get more clubs involved.
But, I mean, it's a bumper weekend this weekend, this extra preliminary round where it all begins. Is it 368 clubs, 184 ties?
Yeah, there's actually one less club because Team Northumbria, they pulled out. So they're not taking part. So Shildon have a bye. But yes, 183 ties will be taking place over the Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
And if I called out a number now, the ball as it came out, would you be able to tell me what that tie was?
Well, I'd have a go, but I couldn't guarantee. But try it.
I won't put you on the spot. I won't put you on the spot. But I mean, what about you mentioned some clubs that, you know, are disappointed that they haven't been able to take part this season. What about the numbers that are competing for the first time or for the first time in a number of years?
Well, there's 17 brand new clubs who are taking part in the FA Cup for the very first time. So I know from what I've seen on Twitter that they're all extremely excited about their involvement. Most of them have only been around for a few years and been formed in the 21st century. Clubs like Baffins, Milton Rovers, what a fantastic name that is, and Blyth and Langley Wanderers. And of course, as Ossett United will be taking part as a joined club between Ossett Albion and Ossett Town. But the one that's been waiting the longest, Coggers Hall Town. They were formed 140 years ago and are finally making their FA Cup bow this season. They don't actually enter till the preliminary round, as it happens. But that 140-year wait will be the longest wait any club has ever had before taking part in this famous competition.
And it's probably even worse that they've got to wait to the next round as well then, isn't it? Because they'll be sitting waiting to see who the winners are on Saturday or Sunday and then, you know, keying up for that match. I'm sure we'll try and chase them up and see if we can get them on the phone in a couple of weeks' time. But what about, I mentioned briefly about the increased prize money. This year, there's a big prize fund, but also the losers in these early rounds are going to get some money as well.
Yeah, that's right. The FA have increased the prize fund across the whole board, and they have identified, particularly in the first two rounds, the extra premier and the preliminary round, that there's money for the losers there. And I think that's a good initiative on their part, and it's nice to see that they are increasing the funds. And I haven't talked to a lot of clubs. They're all really excited about this opportunity to make some significant money if they can make one or two victories in the competition. It could make their season.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned about there's some clubs that are disappointed that they can't compete this year, but yeah, obviously the various rules and regulations and certain standards that they have to abide by, which means investment and that sort of thing. But even as a loser in this opening extra preliminary round, there's a bit more incentive there now, isn't there, to go ahead and obviously everybody wants to play in the FA Cup, but when there's a big carrot at the end that maybe you could make a lot of money as a non-league club, but particularly from the lower levels if you go on a decent run. That's got to be a better way to encourage clubs to embrace the competition.
I think it's good. Excuse me. I think it is good that the FA have increased those funds. I think they could have gone a lot further, if I'm being honest. But you know, let's not be too hard on them. They have made a move in the right direction. From what I know from talking to people involved in all the clubs is that, yeah, the money is great and it's nice to get that money and it's great that the money's gone up. But I think that the prestige and the excitement of being involved in the FA Cup outweighs whatever the prize money could be in the players' minds and in the fans' minds, at least. I know the clubs will be rubbing their hands with glee for the opportunity to earn some decent money. But I think the involvement in the competition is what really gets everyone excited.
Well, I'll hope that our manager's listening to this. Every year I do sort of sow the seed that, you know, maybe a little place on the bench for an FA Cup game. You know, I wouldn't, you know, I'd make sure that everybody wore the right numbered shirts. I'd, you know, carry the water bottles out. I don't mind, you know, just that possibility to play in the FA Cup. So what about this extra preliminary round, 84 ties, or 183 with the bye there. What are the ties that really grabbed your attention to look out for?
Well, I'm going off to watch three ties over the long weekend. I do love the fact that we can get games on Friday, Saturday and Sunday. So I'm off down to Thetford Town on Friday night to watch them take on Fakenham. And I'm looking forward to that that trip. Two very old clubs formed in the 1880s. So that'll be really interesting to see. Then on Saturday, I'm off to the Haverhill Derby. The tie that's been deemed so good that the BBC are going to be showing it on their online internet coverage live on Saturday lunchtime. So that's great to be involved in that. And then on Sunday, I'm off down to St. Margaret's Bury to watch them play Enfield at 2 o'clock on Sunday. So three great matches to look out for.
Yeah, you mentioned about the BBC stream. They're going to be streaming again at least one game from every round. You know, they've got the Haverhill Derby this year, so hopefully that won't impact too much on the crowd that they were going to expect anyway. It's a derby game. If you want to be there, you'll be there, won't you? But it gets other people the opportunity to see how great non-league football is and how great this competition is in the early rounds.
Yeah, they did a really good job last year, and they went around the country very well, and I thought their presentation was brilliant. The only downside was that they never linked it with their first round coverage, and so it was almost like it happened in isolation. So it's a good initiative for them to do it, but I do wish they would give it a bit more exposure by showing the connectivity between these early rounds and the first round onwards.
And obviously, FA Cup, we all love the David and Goliath. I think you've coined the phrase the cup set. Is there a particular, you know, a particular couple of ties or one tie where there's a bit, you know, step five against step a couple of steps below them or something like that that we should look out for that maybe might be the one that will grab all the headlines this weekend?
Well, you know, there's quite a few clubs from step four taking part because of the changes in the structure. And I think there's a couple there that are facing step six clubs. So, for example, Runcorn Linnets are travelling to Hallam on Sunday. That's a two-league gap, so you know, if Hallam raise their game, you never know, they might cause the upset of the round.
Well, I'm sure other people would say something different if they get a victory there. But obviously, we love you for your quirky facts as well. You know, in the past, we've had similar sounding clubs, we've had rhyming clubs. Anything again for us to impress our friends down the pub this weekend?
Well, there's a couple of things, I suppose. I could pick out the Sunderland Rye Hope Community Association taking on Sunderland Rye Hope Colliery Welfare is one heck of a tie. And
if you've got to write the match report for that one, you're out of 150 words already, aren't you? Once you've got the team names, yeah.
Well, that's a 67-letter combination, and I think, you know, without, I haven't really delved in to check for sure, but it sounds like it ought to be the longest combined name of all FA Cup ties ever. The other thing about Sunderland Rye Hope Colliery Welfare, the actual club themselves only refer to themselves as Rye Hope Colliery Welfare, so the Sunderland part is added on by the FA. And the fact that it is makes for it an interesting fact is that they are the only club to take part in the FA Cup this season with all the letters of the word FA Cup in their name.
Now, that's the sort of fact that I was after, Phil. Of course, if you use that one over the coming week, please make sure you give full credit to at FA Cup Fact Phil. It is important. This man does a lot of work and he does deserve all the credit. So you mentioned where you're off to already this weekend, Phil. If you could get anywhere, what would be the one tie you'd want to go to?
Oh, that's a good question. I think I am going to the ties I want to go to be fair. You know, all of them, all the ties, I'd love to be at any of them. I'm being very diplomatic, but truth be told, I would love to be at any one of the games. I can't get enough of the FA Cup at this stage. I really enjoy the atmosphere of the clubs and meeting all the people involved with the clubs and helping them run the club and the fans that are there. So any one of the games would be a treat, and I can't really single any one above the other.
What a gent. What a gent. And of course, we love the FA Cup. You love the FA Cup. What about other people that love the FA Cup? I think you've got a little venture so that they can embrace their club and their FA Cup records.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm running, or I've produced a FA Cup performance charts for every club that's ever taken part in the FA Cup that are still competing in the top 10 levels of the current pyramid. So you can find out all about that by checking my pinned tweet on Twitter and have a look and see which of those clubs or which leagues you'd like to get access to.
Excellent stuff as ever, Phil. Where can people read all your great insights as well? What's the address of the blog?
Well, it's facutfatfire on wordpress.com, I think is the actual address. But you can check it through on the @facutfatfire on Twitter is the best place. Or you can even find me now on Facebook under facutfatfire.
Social media guru now as well. Brilliant. Thanks as ever for your time, Phil. I'm sure we'll be speaking to you again very soon.
Brilliant. Thanks very much, Tim. Good to talk to you again.
Well, the leagues are only just starting and don't mean much at the moment. And it's the FA Cup's first weekend of the season. So let's have a dip in the pool of tides and have another chat with one of those clubs a bit further down the pyramid that might usually not be getting this sort of attention. One tie between two clubs, both debuting in the FA Cup this season. And one of those is Winslow United against Easington Sports. Buckinghamshire-based outfit Winslow play their league football in the Spartan South Midlands League Division 1. But this weekend, they're in the hunt for FA Cup glory. Step forward and welcome to the Non-League Show, Andy Setterfield, chairman of Winslow United.
Good evening.
Well, good evening to you. Now, the FA Cup, it's every boyhood's dream to be involved in the FA Cup, surely?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the club's been going 127 years, and this is our first foray into the FA Cup. So yes, quite a good buzz around the club at the moment.
So what took you so long?
Well, I have to say I've been involved in the club nine years now, 3 years as 3 years as chairman. It's a struggle. You know, even at our level, the teams are. Are strong, I think this last season is probably our best season for 40 years in terms of the finishing position, and it's given us this opportunity to get into the FA Cup.
And as a chairman, struggle. I've been involved in my own club for over 20 odd years. Every week's a struggle, isn't it? So the opportunity for over £2,000 worth of prize money. Of course it's the glory of playing in the FA Cup, but that's a bit of a golden goose down the line, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, as a club, we rely, you know, heavily on, as all lower league and non-league clubs do, on volunteers. We're fairly lucky. We do have quite a good following, you know, we're normally playing, certainly home games, we're normally sort of 70 to 80. Spectators, which is you know, which is great at our level, but even so, yeah, I mean, the idea of having that chance of earning that sort of money with a victory is, I mean, it goes a long way to sort of covering your cost for the whole season almost.
Yeah, a Friday night game. Whose choice was that?
It was ours. Primarily, we share the sports ground with the cricket club and have done for sort of 25 years. Unfortunately, sort of in August, we don't get the opportunity to play at home on a Saturday, which is probably why I think for the last 7 years we were talking at the weekend. For the last 7 years, we haven't won the first game of the season because we're always playing away. Unfortunately, yes, it's a Friday night game for us. It was either that or a Sunday afternoon.
This is the sort of story you only get in non-league, and really you only get in the FA Cup, that really your choice was dictated by the sharing with the cricket club.
Absolutely.
And that shows exactly, you know, at the heart of the community, how close you are. You know,
you said you've been involved for 9 years, but the club's had an interesting story, really, haven't you? You say formed back in the 1890s, but you were in the Spartan League for a long time, and then withdrew from senior football to concentrate on the youth stuff.
We did, yeah. I think we had I don't think I was around at that stage, but it was, I think we got to a stage where we'd lost a manager. The manager went, and as always happens at this level, you tend to find that players follow the manager, and got to a stage where we'd lost a manager and didn't have a team, and the decision was made to step away for a period and concentrate on the youth side of it, which is flourishing at the moment. So it was an interesting time.
I was going to talk about that, because I've followed your story for a couple of seasons now, because I can see, I'm always looking for clubs that are trying to go beyond just senior football's lovely and it's great to play in the FA Cup, but you've got development sides, academy sides, girls sides, boys sides, disability sides. You're fully inclusive, but also community wide. So what does the senior side then playing in the FA Cup mean to those young lads, young ladies coming through the club?
I think it gives them a pathway. You know, I mean, we're quite big on building a pathway, and it gives them that, hopefully, the desire to one day, go through the ranks and be playing in the the FA Cup. I mean, certainly my vision for the club is that this isn't going to be the first or the only time we're in the FA Cup. We want to be in there consistently. The thing's I think driving some of those youngsters is coming up here on a Saturday and watching the first team. And we made the step a few years ago to make sure that every single team from our under sevens through to the senior team play in the same kit. So the youngsters can actually have that those role models, really, and that ability or the option to eventually be playing senior football.
A man after my own heart. There's something else we've tried to implement in recent years at my own club, and it is important for clubs that are trying to build academies and new setups and ladies' sides. It's important that all of those clubs feel inclusive, that they are the same club. That we've got this one club philosophy. Is that a similar sort of thing that you're trying to introduce there?
Absolutely. I mean, we have I'm chairman of the senior section, so I sort of look after from under 16s upwards. We do have a separate committee that sort of look after the junior side, if you like, of the club. We're all singing from the same hymn sheet. As I say, we've spent the last 2 years building a pathway, having that written down, getting every manager to sign up to that pathway, so that whether you be under sevens or in an under 12 team or an under 14 team, you almost know what your career path is within the club, and we get the managers to buy into that.
So you said you came into the club 9 years ago. I don't know how long you've been chairman. What's the best thing and the worst thing about being a chairman of a football club?
I think the best thing was, is this, is having the opportunity to be chairman of the club when, we had our first foray into the FA Cup, being chairman of the club last year, we're having our best finish, in 40 years. They're the things that, that make the job worthwhile. In terms of the worst things, it's probably as it is now, whatever time you said, gone 20 past seven, in the middle of a pitch now, putting the fencing up, marking the pitch out, having to do all those sorts of things. But you have to take the rough with the smooth, don't you?
You do, but they are the bits that some people often don't see, and that's the thing that we're always very, very proud and very appreciative of, certainly on this show. Now, back to the FA Cup then. This weekend, who are the names that maybe we should be looking at on the team sheet or the headline grabbers for the great defensive tackles from your outfit?
I think from ours, probably our number 10, Aaron King, who was the league's leading goal scorer last year. He's certainly certainly, you know, has played at a high level. I mean, I'm sure, you know, people will go in and Google his name. Was on Liverpool in their academy as a youngster, got a fairly serious knee injury, and certainly played at, dropped down and played at higher levels. He's certainly one to watch out for. Probably the local lad. We've got Ryan Freshwater. We can go back probably 20 plus years, and his father's played for the side, and his grandfather played for Winslow. So they're synonymous with Winslow. I'm sure. I think if we cut him in half, he'd have Winslow written through him.
I can see the FA Cup headlines already on that one. Yeah, you said you had your best season last season. This season, you're starting off in the FA Cup for the first time ever. What's the aims now for the rest of this season?
I think certainly talking to the managers and the players from the end of last season. I mean, the biggest aim this season is to get promoted. As I say, I think we missed out on finishing second by 5 points last year, which, in hindsight, were probably games that we lost that we shouldn't have done. Certainly, I think the aims of the management and the players is promotion this year. I mean, that's their focus, and certainly where we're looking at as a club.
Well, Andy, I better let you get back to what have you got? Some pitch markings to do?
We're just currently trying to turn the pitch green rather than the sandy brown that it looks at the moment, and getting it tidy up for tomorrow evening.
I'm sure anybody with a garden feels your pain already.
Yeah.
What about Saturday? Do you get to watch the match, or are you one of these chairmen that has to sort of unlock all the gates, they run the turnstiles, make the tea?
I tend to be running around most of the game, but hopefully. Hopefully we'll have enough volunteers up here this weekend that we can actually try and enjoy a bit of the game.
Well, best
and hopefully a celebration afterwards.
Well, yeah, I'm sure there'll be a celebration either way. There's money for the losers this year as well, so here's
absolutely.
We wish you best of luck with the game, your first match in the FA Cup for the rest of the season. Andy, it's been great talking to you, and well done on everything you're doing at the club. As I say, I've been monitoring for a while, and it looks like the sort of model that more clubs should have a look at and see how football should be run properly.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Well, that's it for this week. I hope you will follow us throughout the season. We'll be back again next week with a bigger team, more news, more views, and more stories and interviews. Join us, as ever, throughout the week on social media at Non League Show. We are always keen to hear your stories and get you involved in this, your show, as much as ours. Thanks, as ever, for listening. Don't forget, you can find us and all our back catalogue on Audio Boom, also on iTunes, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, and all good podcast aggregation sites. Thank you and goodbye.
IWBA JABBA